right. It's Tuesday night. It's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you are listening to The Ooze, the Luminous Edition, with your hosts, Jason Sorrell and Rotten Biohazards. So, Rotten, what's going on tonight, man? It's kind of cold where you're at, right?
Yeah, dude, it's rather nippy.
Oh. 20 degrees outside where you're at.
Yeah, dude, I think that was actually this afternoon. The highest we got up to was around 22 where I'm at. And now it's, of course,
wow,
almost 10 o'clock at night. The temperature's dropping. Yeah, dude, it's not a fun experience.
Well, I remember those days way back when, I lived up in the frigid north.
Yeah, how about you and I trade places, man? You can live up here. I'll take Texas over, man. Yes, do that one.
No, I'm not down. I'm not down with that at all. tonight, when it got down to about 55, 50 degrees out, it gets a little cold out. Our low is about 35, 36 degrees maybe, and that's because we got a cold front that came through. The next couple of days is supposed to warm back up, but we ended up lighting a fire tonight. So, you know, and the fire gets so hot in the apartment that we have to, you know, open up the windows. But yeah, I'll stick with what I got here in Texas.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How was your New Year's, man?
It was pretty good. Drank a half liter of whiskey and called it a night.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know what was going on Sin, but I got a text message from Zach. I actually got the message maybe the next day. I don't know what's up with my service provider. But the message was that there were people expecting me in chat on New Year's Eve. And New Year's Eve, man, we just kind of, me and the family just kind of chilled out here, and we played some games and did a little drinking and stayed up until the ball dropped and did the toast, and that's pretty much it. So unlike a year ago when we were actually on the Sin chat room having a drinking game and, you know, watching Zach Schroeder pass out, all the shit he talked, you know. So yeah, a little mellow, really kind of a mellow New Year's for us. But cool, man. We're on the other side of it. It's 2012. Crazy.
Yeah, odd year, man. Really strange so far. The weather's been crazy. We're not getting snow like we're supposed to. So that's going to cause possible issues in the spring and summer. Things are strange, man.
Yeah, and it's, when people talk about climate change and everything else, and they talk about, you know, these different weird weather patterns and everything, I'm kind of like, you know what, just learn to deal with it, get used to it. You know, the weather is, you know, it's getting warmer. You know, fuck how it happened or why it's happening. It's snowing less. The cold snap that we're used to doesn't last for as long as it used to. We might not be seeing as much rain as we're used to. Which means that we go from living in a moderate zone into a temperate, you know, almost a tropical zone someplace in the United States, which means that, you know what, it just means longer for me to walk around in shorts and a T-shirt, and, you know, you learn to deal with it. And the same with the idea of the ice caps were to melt or to shrink in some significant way. Well, that means that property that was worthless, you know, 50 years ago is now beachfront property. You know, again, learn to deal, you know, adapt. That's what, you know, that's what we're supposed to be good at as a species, is adapting. So, you know, finding the inevitable. Go ahead.
I can definitely say the whole idea of one day you wake up and you have beachfront property to be a marketer's wet dream, okay?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And if, you know, if it were to suddenly happen, which I don't see it suddenly happening.
I think there would be some damn near warning, at least to some degree.
Right. And look at Amsterdam and New Orleans, both of them built under sea level. You know, maybe not Amsterdam, but Holland. You know, both of them built under sea level. You know, and they've managed with that environment for, you know, even New Orleans, hundreds of years. So it's not like human ingenuity can't deal with that kind of thing. So we're, these 12-foot or 30-foot wall, you know, high waves and everything else, yeah, it happens. If it happens one day, it happens one day. When everything settles down, well, then, you know what, you got a new beachfront property, so it's a realtor's wet dream, just like you said. And then these salvage companies are going to come out of the woodwork, and every hillbilly that has a boat and some scuba gear is going to be out talking about how they can get back down to your house and find the things you lost, you know, that kind of thing. So it's going to be a boom. It's going to be an economic boom. So it's, you know, a positive thing in my mind.
So, exactly.
Yeah. So tonight we're talking about Satanism. Both you and I, our background, our philosophical background, I think, is in Satanism.
Yeah.
We both tend to lean in that direction. I no longer refer to myself as a Satanist, mainly because that seemed like the most satanic thing to do, was to no longer choose to refer to yourself as a Satanist, and I have my own reasoning for that. But we're going to kind of talk about what our versions or what our ideas on Satanism were and or are, and where we see Satanism at today as a philosophy, as, you know, a movement, or, you know, even, you know, dare I say it, a community. There are people who get their dander all in a huge uproar whenever you say that there's a satanic community. But, you know, there is, so get over it. So, yeah, man, I guess I'll let you start, man. What's your take on Satanism? Like, what is it to you?
Well, in this day and age, it's kind of, well, it's gone quite downhill, I'd have to say. You know, when I first started getting into Satanism, I was about 16, maybe 17. It was more or less, it wasn't even Satanism at that time. I was studying a lot more of different occult philosophies. I was reading different books on it, really just trying to get my bearings on the occult itself. And then, of course, you know, the Satanic Bible came around. Read that for the first time when I was maybe 18, 19. It made enough sense. But see, here's the kicker with me, though, man. It wasn't that this whole book just kind of clicked. It was more the fact that I saw the simple common sense things that everyone should be doing anyways. I didn't see it as this huge philosophical paradigm that had to be followed strictly, like, you know, one of the things particularly do. That's how I stand on at least the Levian side of things. More so, I guess I could say I've had just, you know, some really strange experiences over the years when it came to the occult, kind of caused me to perhaps lean more towards theism in some ways. Well, a lot of ways, actually.
Right on. So you don't consider, I mean, you're not a strict Levian Satanist. I guess that's kind of
no,
kind of,
no.
That's the
I've,
way
I've
I
never
lean
really
to.
Actually classed by myself as Levian, to be honest with you.
Okay. And I think the issue, the big issue with the Levian Satanism, the Levian version of Satanism, is that it completely it completely abolishes any kind of deistic or theistic or spiritual component to our experience. It writes it all off. It leaves no room for there to be maybe something else going on.
Even though, some of these people who are theists and were quote-unquote traditional Satanists are fucking nuts.
Right. I agree with that as well. No, so, but, you know, focusing on Levian, we'll talk about the theistic Satanists in a minute, but focusing on the Levian aspect, I think it's because most people, when they deal with Satanism, that's where they come from, they start at, basically.
Well, of course
Bible.
They do, man. It's been around since, you know, it became predominant in the 60s. It's been around, it's been on the airwaves, it's been in the consciousness for a good 40 years now. That's
right.
The expected that would be where people would start.
Well, yeah, it's the most successfully marketed version of Satanism is, you know, the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, Levian Satanism, modern Satanism, or however you want to refer to it. And the funny thing is, when I look at the Satanic Bible, when I looked at the Satanic Bible, what I got out of it was, you know, first of all, like you're saying, a bunch of very common sense ideas. No big philosophical revelations. It was just pretty much straightforward, you know, no nonsense. But the idea that it was, you know, here's this code where when the rest of society is saying, don't think like this, don't live like this, even though that's the way it is, you've got this guy out there saying, no, this is what, you know, think like this, live like this, and embrace it, enjoy it, indulge in it. So that part I really dug. Go ahead.
But also, man, during that time period, a lot of people were doing exactly what he was, you know, speaking about. We had the hippie movement. We had these different movements going on where people were living like that. Sure, maybe you
right.
know, the larger strata of society was not. But there was still that subgroup, let's call them hippies, that were definitely practicing what he was basically preaching without him actually having to preach it.
Right. And the one thing that I drew from the Satanic Bible that seems to be the antithesis of Levian Satanism was that you define all of this for yourself. You determine for yourself what your direction is going to be. And especially with the most modern incarnation of the Church of Satan, that's not what they want at all. They, you know, they have a code that is in the Satanic Bible, their own little set of rules. And if you don't abide by these set of rules and do not put the Church of Satan first in all things and in all ways, well, then they don't consider you a Satanist. And you know, what I got from the Satanic Bible, right, what I got from the Satanic Bible is no one could tell you whether you're a Satanist or not. It was completely up to you. So, and I think a lot of that comes from the fact that, you know, there's some question as to whether or not Anton LaVey wrote the Satanic Bible. It had more, you know, his wife Diane at the time might have had more to do with it. He obviously lifted, you know, pieces, you know, huge chunks of the Satanic Bible from other writers and other authors. As a matter of fact, in the first edition of the Satanic Bible, he has a dedication page where he pretty much lists all of his sources, you know, in a sort of, you know, loose manner, but it's all there. I think that's what led to the eventual, you know, schism in the Church of Satan is that LaVey writes this book. He puts this idea out there. He's got this philosophy where it's, you know, you do for yourself. You think for yourself, and you figure it out on your own. You're self-determined. You're self-responsible. And then he wants to be the leader. He wants to be seen as the de facto leader of those kinds of people, people who don't want to be led. He wants to be considered the de facto leader of those kinds of people, and that's
but
where you start to see it all
that,
fall
man.
Apart.
But people follow
that?
That, though. For quite, but people
oh,
followed
yeah.
that his that mentality for quite a while. They still do, even, man. They still look at him as, let's be honest, a martyr. That's what he's become, man. It's no longer he was just a man who happened to condense all these other things into his own philosophy. No, he's basically, you know, a god, if you really... Okay, I hate using a fucking word. I really do. But that's kind of how it has become.
Right. He's considered the epitome of what it is to be a Satanist. And in many ways, I would say yes, except that he requires other people follow him. And in my opinion, a real Satanist doesn't have that requirement. A real Satanist will do for themselves, will do on their own, whether they have people follow them or not. It is kind of sad the way that these LaVeyans apparently says, and just, you know, they worship everything that he's done instead of thinking for themselves. And it's now to the point where you've got an organization, the Church of Satan, where freedom of thought is not accepted. You know, or if it's accepted, it's only within a very narrow set of parameters. So you're giving up the mundane social, societal, you know, parameters, the rules of this society, and just trading it for another even stricter set of rules. And that doesn't make
yep.
any sense, my opinion, as far as being a Satanist.
And the most hilarious aspect is, especially when you find someone who's just gotten into Satanism, they just read the Satanic Bible, and they're blown away, and they start trying to quote it, and they are basically spouting off all these different ideas that they had. And you just look there and look at them and say, you know, this is all just common sense shit. Just put into a nice little package, that's all it is. And yet they would wish to fight you on it and basically say that you are not a Satanist. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And there's the real rub when it comes to the Satanic Bible with this the way this thing's been mass marketed. You got some kid who's just getting into Satanism. He picks up the Satanic Bible, he reads it, and he's turned on by it. Maybe it's not, you know, it's not a revelation to him either, but it's that, you know, he has permission now, okay, to indulge. He has permission to really explore these ideas, whereas in others, and everything else he's read, he's not been given that kind of permission. So what does he do? He contacts the Church of Satan because he wants to support that organization that's rooted in this idea. He wants to get involved with those kinds of people. And what those kinds of people start teaching him or start telling him is all kinds of shit about what it means to be a Satanist that are not in that Bible, all kinds of things that are outside of it. And, of course, this kid is just coming from a herd mentality, follow the authority kind of situation. That's the way his thinking is set up. So when he, you know, when he finally breaks away from that, reads the Satanic Bible, and then he finds himself in an environment where, again, you've got these authority figures, you know, these people who give the appearance of knowing more than this kid knows about Satanism, and they tell him this is the way it is, well, then that's what he assumes. That's what he runs with. So then when that kid goes out to some place like the Satanic International Network or whatever and actually runs into people who are free thinkers, who think for themselves, and they tell him, no, 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 that's not, in our opinion, what Satanism is, he gets in a lather, and he goes toe-to-toe with them, and he's just another little toady. He's just another little clone out there. He's following a new herd, but it's still herd mentality.
Yep. I definitely have to say I'd agree with that one.
So, and yeah, you see it all the time. Now, it's what's interesting. You mentioned that, you know, you've got these Satanists out there who, again, they're following their herd. It's either one set of line of thinking or another line of thinking that someone else has developed, someone else has packaged, and they've swallowed it. You know, it's a little pill that they've taken, and now this is who they are. This is how they define Satanism, and this is how they define themselves. And it's funny, and I guess being a little bit older, having a little bit of perspective, and you see this in all these different movements. You talk about Socrates way back, you know, during ancient Greece, talking about how the youth were too boisterous, too loud, too flamboyant, you know, not respective of their values or traditions. You know, basically everything that's complained about the youth today, you know, Socrates is making the same complaints in ancient Greece.
Yep.
So you see this with Satanism. The old guard, you know, the LaVeys, Ali, Gilmore, since he subscribes to the whole LaVey thing, those folks that have been involved in Satanism one way or another since its inception as a modern pop culture movement, because I don't want to piss the people off that, you know that it's been going on for longer than that, the pop culture end of it, those people, they look at the new crop of Satanists that have come up, and they go, oh, I don't get these guys. And the reason they don't get these guys is because a lot of them are taking their philosophy, the exact things they've been saying, think for yourself, do for yourself, and they're running with it and saying, you know, I don't need you to tell me what to do because I'm going to run with what you've said, think for myself, do for myself. And you're seeing maybe a third or even fourth generation of that kind of thing happening, where now you've got it goes to both extremes. On the one hand, you've got the clones, you know, the herd, that they call themselves Satanists, and they go into wherever they're going to go, and they spout off, whether it's LaVeyan Satanism or theistic Satanism or whatever it is, they spout off whatever bullshit they've been taught, and that's where Satanism is at for them. And then you've got that extreme far end where a lot of our comrades in arms are at, basically, where it's, you know, dealing with idiots like that, basically, where it's, you know, you think for yourself, you do for yourself, but it's almost gone so far in the other direction that now we find ourselves questioning and defining and beginning to restrict what it is we call Satanism, and that's problematic also. And we're beginning to see some people get away from that, and hopefully that's a good thing, that trend continues. I just read something that Dan Dredd posted on his blog along those lines in regards to the ONA. It might be an older post. I don't know. I just checked it out tonight because I wanted to look up his autodiabolic method for the show this evening. But, you know, that Dan was getting away from, you know, announced that he was getting away from the whole ONA 3.0 thing. That, again, it's, you know, he appreciates the philosophy. But the methodology and things of that nature, when they tell Dan Dredd basically that he has to do X, Y, and Z to be following the philosophy properly, he disagrees. And that's what I got away from his blog. And if he comes on show tonight, he can tell us about himself. I'd love to hear about that. But let's talk about theistic Satanism. You said they're fucking nuts. How do you define that? How do you define theistic Satanism? What have you seen?
What have I seen?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What have I seen that theists tend to do? They tend to preach a lot, man. They've taken Christianity, of course, is monotheistic, but they've taken that whole God idea and basically taken it and just kind of spread it the fuck out. Now you have this god, you have that god, you have this guy doing this, you have that guy doing that. They've basically taken what is an old practice, let's say from Greece, from Rome, things of that nature, and basically brought it into the modern perspective. But they take it a bit too far. They basically try to, he's also specialized in Satanism, you know, also the traditionals, which are quite kooky in their own way. But you have these crazy fucks saying that, you know, I married Lord Satan, I fucked Lord Satan. You know, that kind of creepy, just off-the-wall shit. These are the kind of people who you should really just... They really need to be just chemically castrated. The gene pool needs to end with them.
Well, my dealings with the and traditional Satanism, I think there's a distinction you can make between those people calling themselves theistic Satanists and those people in that additional subset of traditional Satanists. The traditionalists, I think, are epitomized just like what you were talking about. You take one paradigm, Christianity, let's say. You've got the Christian God, and a traditional Satanist, in my mind, almost goes through the Christian Bible, and everywhere they see God, they scratch it out and write the word Satan. I mean, it can go that far that, you know, Satan created the world. Satan, you know, they just basically, they're not even really inverting the Christian faith. They're just taking the word Satanism or Satan and using it in place of God. And they have a few ideas that are a little bit more sinister, a little bit more diabolic or whatever. But it's still the same, you know, it's still the same tribe. And you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to give yourself to Satan, just like you give yourself to Christ. You're supposed to, you know, you pray, you worship, you have, you know, an oath of fealty to Satan and whatever monkey's taking your money, that kind of thing. And there was a guy in San Antonio who, when I first got to Austin and was trying to, you know, figure out, you know, get my bearings basically with the local community, I went and checked this guy out. And, I mean, this guy was deep into his shit. And it wasn't just his shit, though. You know, it wasn't just the Satanism thing. It was his own shit, his own trip, his own, you know, he thought he read it all and knew it all. And, you know, one night he invites me to come out and talk to him and his six little officers, basically, all these people in San Antonio who were part of his core church, his organization. So
he
we started talking.
Church, really?
He called it a cathedral, man. The cathedral of the black goat. Okay, so traditional Satanists, and here I am, you know, he appreciated my position as a Satanist, but then I was leaning, when dealing with him, on a, you know, on a relative scale, I was closer to a LaVeyan Satanist than where he was at. So we started talking about what his ideas were. Here we are, he's got his six little officers around him, and his wife, and we're in his home. And, you know, I'm being trying to be respectful and everything else, but I'm not backing down. We're having this conversation. And as we're having this conversation about what Satan is and what Satanism is and everything else, he says, he gives his definition as, you know, your total obedience and subservience to Satan, the Lord and Master, right? And one of the chicks on his little council of six kind of interrupts us as we're going back and forth and goes, hey, just so you know, I agree more with Jason's version of Satanism than I do yours.
No
right?
shit.
And that started up all six of them going, yeah, man, I mean, Satan can be a real being, but in my mind, Satan is not looking for, you know, slaves. He's looking for, you know, allies and companions and equals, that we all have the, you know, the one person said we all have the ability to be Satan, that kind of thing, right? And it started this whole shitstorm. He put an end to the whole thing, basically saying, look, you know, okay, so clearly we need to talk. We need to really evaluate everything. We ended the evening on a, you know, on a positive note. Everything went well. About a week later, I get an email from him saying he disbanded his entire organization, his entire group of officers, that the Cathedral of the Black Goat still stood, but now he was the sole component of this organization. And, you know, he had people online and everything. Yeah, the whole thing just kind of blew apart when other people – I mean, the guy had a strong personality. And where he ran afoul was he invited somebody else with a strong personality into his house and gave him the freedom to speak his mind. So, you know, it didn't work out for him. His wife even left him eventually. It was kind of funny because of he screwed me on a business deal basically too.
Nice.
But yeah, that was funny. And it was when I say screwed me on a business deal. He was paying me to maintain his website. 1 month the money stopped showing up because he was running into money problems, and for whatever reason he was expecting me to maintain it out of my own pocket. And when that stopped, I did that for like 2 months, and then I stopped doing that for him. He went his whole shitstorm and, you know, anti-Jason thing online, because that's as far as his power goes, was his, you know, talking shit online to his group. And I was like, well, what do you fucking do? You know, I've got other sources of income and other things going on, so I need this as much as I need a hole in the head, and that's as far as that went. I want to say the theistic Satanist thing, if you want to talk about in modern times, I usually look to Howard Sloan. Have you ever heard of that guy?
I think so, perhaps maybe once or twice. Not really sure. Yeah, not really sure, man.
Howard Sloan was a peer of Gary Gardner, the guy who founded Wicca.
Okay.
And yeah. Sloan's deal, this is the thing that when people bring up Howard Sloan as a Satanist, the mistake they make is that Sloan pretty much across the board agreed with everything Gardner had to say about Wicca. So God and Goddess, the whole nine yards. The difference between Sloan and Gardner is that Sloan suggested to Gardner that they go ahead and embrace Satan as a positive deity, okay? That they shouldn't be ashamed of their satanic roots. That, you know, that this is a name that Christians, or this is a name that modern society is going to use, give their horned God, well, then they should make use of it. And Gardner disagreed. As everybody knows, Gardner totally says, you know, we don't believe in God or Satan. We don't deal with any of that. So Sloan had a temple that was, you know, it was a group of people, and I guess they operated out of the back of somebody's barbershop or some shit like that, and did his own thing until, I don't know, he died or, you know, got tired of it or whatever. It really didn't go anywhere. They wrote some stuff. They were part of the emerging Wiccan movement, and I think what happened is that when Sloan, gave it up for, you know, based on, you know, whatever the situation was, those people got absorbed into the mainstream Wiccan movement. Go ahead.
You want to see a group of people blow a gasket? Just happen to hint. Well, fuck it, dude. Just happen to boldly say to a Wiccan group that their whole quasi faith, I guess we could call it that if we want, is predicated on a type of folk Satanism. If you happen to even mention this, or even just fuck boldly say it, they are in an uproar. The amounts of things that they will say to you is just, it's out of this world, man.
Well, it's because they look at, it's funny, because they look at, they come to Satanism, when they're looking at Satanism, they look at Satanists, and who do they run afoul of? Well, they run into the Levian Satanists. And the Levian Satanists that actually make their rounds around Wiccans or whatever, well, they have a very high-minded attitude about how they present themselves and how they, you know, what they do. So I imagine, I mean, my dealings with Wiccans, you go to a coffee shop, and the Wiccan is the guy in, a black T-shirt and some, you know, Birkenstocks or whatever, you know, some stupid shoes and shit like that, he can't afford to get a cup of Joe. He's just there hanging out, sucking up the air conditioning or the heat or whatever, depending on the season. And he's there for hours. That's where he is when he's not in his mom and dad's basement. Compared to the average Satanist, I mean, there are plenty of Satanists who are just like that as well. But then there are a lot of Satanists who dress up when they go out. They have things they want to, they're out to accomplish something of some nature, that they actually have goals and a purpose. They have things like jobs, shit like that. So when they see, you know, when they go into the same coffee shop, well, they can actually order a latte, and they kind of look down their noses at the Wiccans. So the Wiccans get this, you know, go, whoa, these are elitist assholes. You know, they don't respect or appreciate, you know, our religion and our faith and everything else. It's like, well, because you're talking out your ass.
Yeah,
so,
dude,
you know,
fuck them,
I,
man. They created their issues.
Right.
Fuck them.
Right, right. And they, so they come to, they come to Satanism from that. I am involved in you know, several different blogs, several different forums and everything. And for a while, I was, you know, involved in several, you know, these Wiccan and pagan forums. And the idea being that, you know, look, you know, witchcraft is founded in Satanism. Let's not try to whitewash it. Let's not try to, you know, to take Satan out of it or whatever and make it something it's not. You know, let's, you know, if you're into witchcraft, embrace it. Because the idea is the definition of Satanism, as far as witches are concerned, from way back when, was the Christian definition. Everything that's outside of God is satanic. Well, witchcraft is definitely satanic, and the witches of antiquity embraced the identity when Christians thrust it upon them, because they recognized it gave them power. You know, whether it was just political power or power for propaganda purposes, a means of controlling people. The idea that if you participate in one of these little orgies, and you know, that was the real power of witchcraft. Is that you can get these people with a little bit of money to come out to your little orgy in the woods, and you get them high and you get them laid, and you let them know, hey, if you screw us over on this, we're going to let everybody know that you are worshiping the devil. Okay? And we'll, you know, usually the witch on the stake was not a witch at all. Usually the witch in that crowd is the woman that's in the crowd yelling for that bitch to burn. Okay, they were very good at redirecting all that towards people, you know, their political enemies, their social enemies. Those are the people that tend to be, you know, tend to got destroyed by the actual witch cults. There are a few famous examples to the contrary, like La Fontaine or what have you. But still, that tended to be the way it went. And they were very, you know, in their mentality, sinister, satanic. When you look at the ONA, you look at Anton Long. Anton Long talks about how, you know, he started getting involved in Satanism and his own definition of Satanism. And that's key. That's going to be core to Satanism, in my opinion. He gets into Satanism. He gets exploring this idea. He finds himself back in, I don't know, it was Britain, I'm assuming, someplace on the British Isles. And he hooks up with a group of, I would say that they were witches. These were people who, you know, hardcore considered themselves deep into witchcraft. You know, whether they actually had any connection to antiquity or not, who fucking cares, right? But they embraced the whole idea that we actually worship the devil in the way that our ancestors worshiped the devil, you know, prior to or in resistance of the Christian takeover of their continent or their island. So this is, I mean, that's where witchcraft is. And, you know, the whole Wiccan thing, anyways, is so watered down. I mean, the Great Rite, where you take an athame or athame or whatever the hell you want to pronounce it, a knife, and you stick it into a chalice, and this represents the phallus going into the vagina, the vessel of the goddess, and this is your Great Rite. You know, it's all symbolism. Whereas, you know, the Great Rite here in my household is me fucking my girlfriend. All right.
Exactly.
and that's the way it should be. I mean, you want to talk about that's where power is at. So that's my bit on Wicca. And the theistic Satanists, and the problem is with theistic Satanists is that you know what, if you want to define the flowers and the sun and the moon and everything else as Satan, you know, more power to you. But the problem with the theistic Satanists, the traditional Satanists, and the LaVey Satanists is that more often than not, they're not figuring it out on their own. They're not coming to these conclusions, you know, based on their own experience. They're being told what it is by somebody else, and they're not exploring it any further. That's just the way it is in their minds.
Yeah, never was like that. I was always thinking for myself that I wasn't having it spoon-fed to me, things that I was just experimenting with and figuring out on my own.
Right. Right, and that when I was way back when I started first looking into Satanism, one of the most profound articles I read on Satanism was some article where they were talking to a bunch of different Satanists, and this one guy's line that stuck with me was how he hated other Satanists. He didn't like hanging out with those Satanists. He didn't like dealing with those Satanists. Because Satanists are supposed to be all about themselves, all about what they got going on. And, it, you know, so if you're hanging out with a bunch of people who all they are is about themselves, that gets old real fast. That gets tedious really fast. Okay? So that's what that was his thing. You know, and in my mind, that was like, okay, that makes sense to me, that if you're going to be a Satanist, your whole goal in life shouldn't be to hang out with other Satanists. It should be about what you're doing. And when I look at Satanists, when I look at, you know, people that I respect, you look at, you know, Dan Drett with his autodidactic method, or Jason King, you know, his Satanism is his Satanism. And it's definitely different from LaVey Satanism and theistic Satanism and all of that stuff. You know, Anton Long came up with something novel. And, you know, you could even say there are people I don't respect or I don't have a lot of respect for. You know, I have some respect for Anton LaVey, regardless of, you know, how he carried himself and what came of his whole effort. He did what he did, and, you know, kudos to him for doing that. When you look at Paul Valentine, you know, okay, I think Paul Valentine's a douchebag, okay?
Yeah.
But Paul Valentine, he goes for that. He cultivates his being his douchebaggery. And if you don't get that, well, then Paul Valentine doesn't want to deal with you. And what Paul Valentine tells you, it's about atheistic egoism, you know, well, then, of course, that's basically saying, I'm going to be a douchebag, you know, so deal with it. So if you're going to deal with Paul Valentine, that's just what you take into it. So that's part of, you know, that's part of his thing. And, you know, as much shit as we give Vendor Satanist, he's doing his thing. He's doing his own thing. You know, despite the slings and arrows he suffers, the one thing you can say about Derek Dishaw is that, at least online, at least as far as what's going on the Internet, I don't know about his personal life, I can't speak to that, but as far as he's got going on the Internet, despite what everybody says to him, he does his own thing, regardless of what he's told.
Yeah, and he hasn't even given in to any of the pressure from other groups or anything of that nature. He's definitely keeping to his own core beliefs, his own core philosophy.
Right, right. And that core philosophy and everything else, it might not be consistent, but it is his. Okay? So he sticks to his guns. I think that's essential to being a Satanist, is that it's about being self-defined. It's about being self-determined. So all the squawking and squabbling about what Satanism is or what Satanism isn't, it's an interesting intellectual exercise. It can be entertaining at times. But at the end of the day, if I'm looking for a definition of Satanism, I have nowhere further to look but, you know, in my own head. And
yep.
The day I start being concerned about what other people think, I mean truly being concerned about what other people think about what it is I do as a Satanist or as a non-Satanist, what I do to define my personal philosophy, that's when I know that I've gone astray. That's when I know that I'm not living by that satanic ideal.
Well, I did destroy the poor dude's group, man. You're a dick.
Yeah. And that's what you got to be. That's it, man. That's Satanism. It's that, you know, you got to be an asshole. You got to be a dick. And you got to be willing to take that. You got to be willing to cultivate it.
You see, man, one thing that really is kind of, I don't want to say irked as much as I possibly should, but lately in a lot of different groups, for instance, one that we're both a member of, you're starting to see a lot of people come around who are just, how am I going to word this? I'm not sure I was going to say on that one. I had a point somewhere in there, I'm not sure what it was now. Fuck. Shit.
Well, I'll let you come to it. We got about 20 minutes left. The phone number is 347-989-1371. In case you wanted to call in, but if not, just chill out in the chat room and enjoy the show. I'm not sure where you were going with your thought, but you do see in a lot of these groups as they form, you'll see cliques form. You'll see these different people come in and they'll have a certain agenda. They'll have a certain set of, you know, ideals they're trying to push, or you know, a philosophy that they want to be the philosophy. And they see the forum as a vehicle for them to go ahead and do their thing. And especially in a forum like, say, the Satanic International Network, where everybody's given pretty much an equal voice. Those vehicles tend to be heavily assaulted by these types of people who want to codify everything, who want to define everything. And what's nice about sin, you know, is that its survivability is because there are a lot of people who are at the core of it, who think for themselves, who might not even agree with one another. You know, you could see, you know, Jason King and Dan Dredd and Zach Black and all those guys, T.C. Downey, they every once in a while they disagree, man, and they go at it toe-to-toe. But at the end of the day, though, they make sure that they keep that form consistent in its message, and they don't let anybody run, you know, roughshod over the entire, you know, the entire forum.
Oh, I know what I was going to say now on there. Okay. Lately, man,
okay.
Let's say within the last two, maybe 3 months, you've been seeing a huge increase, especially since a certain website was bought and, you know, kind of shut down. Tongue-in-cheek there. But you see a lot of these people coming over from there who are just so fucking pussified, and they make these just absolutely bullshit, whether it be blogs, whether you're posting on the wall or in that kind of, that, you know, that side section there on the right, of their own, of their brand of Satanism. And you have
right.
to actually read some of that shit, because it's fucking off the wall and hilarious.
Right, well, they all want a pat on the back. They all want somebody to go, yeah, I agree with you. They all want validation. And, you know, they miss the boat. When they're seeking validation, when they're seeking, you know, that kind of, you know, response, they miss the boat on what it is to be a Satanist.
Exactly. You should not need to require validation from your peers. Validation should come from yourself.
Right. Right.
And then, of course, someone happens to actually say that, no, this is not Satanism, they get all butthurt and fucking leave. Well, fuck you, too. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Oh, it's always struck me as, I always thought it was odd when you've got these people, you know, claiming to be Satanists who go into a public forum and talk about their problems, okay? The problems in their love life, the problems they have paying the rent, the problems they have finding a job, and they complain and bitch, and they complain and bitch about other people in the forum. Why did that guy give me a hard time, and what was his problem, and all the pussified, just like you talked about. It's like, you know what, if in any way, in anything, in Satanism, you don't present yourself as being weak. You know, everybody's got problems. Everybody's got issues. But do you really want people to see you as weak? Do you really want people
no.
to see you as having the problems? Not as a Satanist. Yeah, not in that forum. You know, it's about your successes. And if you can't find any successes to talk about, if you can't find any way to positively reinforce the idea of you in a satanic forum, well, then you're best not to fucking say anything.
Yep. But see, you have it all the time, man. It doesn't have to be a satanic forum. It really doesn't. It can be any place on the web, and you will find people bitching, just completely just bitching and moaning about how shitty their life is. Oh, your girlfriend left you. Oh, you can't find a job. It's all this other bullshit. But lately, man, it has been, you know, on satanic forums. It's been on these types of vehicles that people find that they bitch a lot more, or they wish to bitch a lot more, I guess is the way to put it.
Well, and the only thing I can think of, the only explanation I can think for any of that is that they call themselves a Satanist, and what they think that means is that now that they're Satanist, now that they're in, they're on the inside,
people are
going to
give more of a shit.
Right, right. They've got their little, you know, philosophical red card or whatever it is. Yeah, that people are going to respect them. That's what I love about some of these people calling themselves Satanists, is that they think the idea of, when you just say I'm a Satanist, or, you know, it happens in Wicca, it happens in any fucking thing, that garners you instant respect from everybody else that calls themselves a Satanist. And
see, and you can say that it happens a lot in Wicca, maybe it does, but I definitely think it happens more in Satanism. I really do. I think a lot of these kids who are listening to their, you know, black metal, things like that, and they're identifying with
right.
Satanists. Yeah.
Right. My mom told me to turn my music down in my room, and she doesn't understand how, you know, I'm a Satanist, and this is what I got to do, and, you know, yeah. Well, you know, if you don't like what's going on in mommy's house, well, maybe you should move your ass out. That's what a Satanist would do. You know, but you wouldn't get your Fruit Loops in the morning for breakfast then because you'd be homeless. Well, that sucks, you know. Yeah.
Hey, man, life's a bitch. Grab me a fucking river.
Right. And it, show some fucking backbone. You know, be a Satanist. I mean, that's the thing that I've months ago I said this in a forum when somebody was asking me about Satanism. I mean, that when I run into somebody that says, hey, man, I'm a Satanist, too. My first question was, you know, well, what do you do? You know, super, you say you're a Satanist. What does that mean? What do you do? You know, well, I've read the Satanic Bible and I've done some rituals. No, I don't want to know what you have done. I want to know what you do. What are you doing? What are you engaged in? How are you a Satanist? And mostly Satanists that are running around, most of these people calling themselves Satanists, they don't have an answer. You know, they don't have a clue.
I generally go with the line, do you want a cookie? I mean, what makes you so different than anyone else identifying themselves as such?
Right. Yeah.
Usually, that line of questions as well, which is kind of silly.
What's that?
They're kind of usually flabbergasted by those types of questions. Like, how dare
you
question me when I call myself Satanist? You know, how's that, you know, how the fuck?
Right. How dare you question my being a Satanist? Well, buddy, you're the one who brought it up. What do you want? You know? So, okay, we're looking at, you know, and in my mind, it's just a trend. We've heard people talk about, you know, what direction is Satanism going in? What's going to happen with Satanism and blah, blah, blah. And you know, the best answers, the best responses I've seen to that was that Satanism would just be fine. Satanism is just an idea. It's just sort of a philosophy. It's, you know, sort of doing for yourself, being, you know, defining for yourself. And this is, I guess that was another point I wanted to bring up tonight, is you get a lot of people talking about what it is to be sinister or diabolic or you know, satanic or whatever. And it, in my mind, it's self-defined. And it's relative, basically, to whatever it is you consider to be mundane or mainstream. That if you're going to be a Satanist, usually it's because you are opposed in some form or fashion to some idea of what it is to be mundane. So, and for people, it's going to be relative because the definition of what is or is not mundane differs from person to person. So if you got somebody who's living in a rural community where everybody goes to church on Sunday and you know, they're Bible thumping, and the only other religion they've heard of is Islam because of the news. You know, they have no other clue as to what's going on. Well, the Satanist is going to be the person that goes, you know what, I bought a copy of the Satanic Bible, I read it, I agree with it, and you know what, I'm not going to church on Sunday anymore. And that's as far outside the fucking mainstream as he needs to go, and that guy is a Satanist. He need not do anything else in his life, you know, at least he is. By his definition, relative to what's going on around him, a Satanist. Whereas people who live in the cities, you know, who have a broader mainstream kind of to dip into, they have to go a little bit further. But it's all about self-definition. And if that's what you do to, you know, to differentiate yourself, to be self-determined, well, then that's Satanism.
See, that actually brings up another interesting point, is the fact that, okay, you and I have actually discussed this previously, and maybe in another episode, I guess it was, where is Satanism going? Well, who the fuck cares? Why does it need to go anywhere? It should be about the individual trying to progress it for themselves. And if someone happens to, you know, click on this one person's idea and where it's going, well, great. You know, you'll have that person to maybe help you out, maybe bounce ideas off of. It shouldn't be that where this whole philosophical ideology needs to actually progress. People need to progress on themselves. And if, as I said, someone happens to actually click on someone else's message, well, good. It's fucking awesome. You know, kudos for you.
Right. Yeah. Satanism does not need a church. Satan does not need a temple. It does not need buildings. It does not need a core annex where all of its information is stored. It doesn't need a central identity. It doesn't need a specific code. Because the instant you create something like that, you're going to have people rebel against that. And as far as I'm concerned, well, the people that rebel against that, they're the new Satanists. They're the Satanists. They're the Satanists, the heretics, if you will, of the defined Satanism. And they'll be closer to the truth of whatever that might mean than the people who have given up any kind of self-determination and adopted a code.
I agree. I think we've pretty much killed this topic.
So,
what do you think?
Yeah. We got about 8 minutes left. The phone number is 347-989-1371. I wanted to bring up some other stuff, the Tuesday night edition. We got some more people in the chat room. The Ooze, our weekly set of broadcasts, we're working on different developments, different ideas. TC and I kind of talked about some ideas on Sunday night. TC, you know, had to go to class 6:30 in the morning, Monday morning. He started his, well, he didn't have to be there at 6:30. I don't know why the hell he got up at 6:30. He had to be there at 9 o'clock. He had to do his thing. He's learning to be a tattoo artist, which I think is just awesome. So hopefully that's going to keep him busy. I know when I started my apprenticeship, it was a, 24/7 kind of thing for a long time.
Apprenticeship, or is he just basically saying that the school's going to be enough?
From what I understand, he's taking a class through a tattoo studio, through a tattoo shop. I don't know the exact details. The class, there's an accreditation that's required in Florida. So this class will provide that accreditation. And from what I understand, part of that class involves cosmetic tattooing. There's some cosmetology involved in it. So it's a little bit more
mainstream.
It's a little bit more, yeah, it's a little more defined than the traditional apprenticeship. And hopefully, I would not wish the traditional apprenticeship on anybody. But hopefully I know it's going to involve tattooing. I know he's going to learn all about that. And I'm not sure exactly how long his class goes, but hopefully he not only gets through this class, but he also gets picked up by the studio. He's expecting that within 6 months he'll complete the course, which makes me think that it's not a traditional apprenticeship, and that he'll be one of the few people that actually has this licensing that's been newly required by the state of Florida. So he'll be a little bit more he'll have a little bit more power, of higher ability at tattoo studios than a lot of people that are already there. So, I wanted to talk about how, we do these shows. And a few months ago, I sold a bunch of stuff on eBay or something. I auctioned it all off. And with those funds, we were able to fund the views from whatever month that was all the way through to December. And TC and I basically bankroll this whole thing. We pony up the money every month to keep, to pay for our premium subscription and do whatever else we're going to do with you. It's not much. Believe me, man. It's not that fucking expensive. I don't want to go into the dollars and cents of it, but TC and I can take care of it just fine. So it's going to sound weird with me making this statement here when I sit there and say we will continue to fund it regardless. But what we would like to happen is we would like it to be funded by our audience. We'd like to be able to show down the road, especially as these shows get developed, especially as the talent we have on board, if they decide to pursue this, decides to, really engage in it, really develop themselves as talk personalities or radio show personalities or what have you. We'd like to be able to sit there and point to other people when we go and look into syndication, if and when that occurs, that we were able to draw not only an audience of X number of people every week to these different shows and X number of listeners on archives, which we do really well on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we do.
But we also like to be able to say, that on a week-to-week, a month-to-month basis, these shows also generated X number of dollars. So But we've always been, TC and I have always been kind of weird also about how we're going to go about generating that income. We talked about selling advertising space. We've talked about different merchandise. We've talked about, you know, just having some sort of donation button. And with TC and I, we're both kind of, you know, donation, the idea of getting donations is iffy to us. We don't like the idea of asking people to give us, you know, money for nothing.
Can I make a suggestion?
Anyway.
I would say merchandise should be the one to start off with. Because it's not hard to really roll out, you know, a thing of merchandise with ooze and different things like that on it. Because that's easy to really do. Advertising, though, that could be a little tricky. Would you go more with different people within the occult? For instance, we had Quedding on there, you know, a few months ago. Letting him, you know, we'll run an ad for him or something like that. Basically, keeping it to where it's the occult, or we want to go beyond that.
Well, I think we want the advertisement to fit the show. We want the advertisement to fit the audience. So it might be the occult. It might be, you know, pop culture. It might be, you know, survivalist kind of thing. You know, whatever. If somebody wants to advertise, you know, that their birthday is coming up. You know, fuck it. A 30 second spot. Or so-and-so's birthday is coming up, or so-and-so's badass Halloween party, or so, you know, a website. You know, we've got this forum over here going on, whatever it might be, where we roll an ad. And the Creative Eye Studios ad was kind of just playing with what may be as far as an ad's concerned. And we're really looking at expanding these shows to two-hour, you know, formats. So especially when we get into that two-hour block of time, we'd like to see about some advertising. So we're trying to work all that out. We're leaning also, I think, towards the merchandising thing. So where I'm going here is we'd like our audience to kind of tell us what it is they would want. Tell us what it is they would put their dollars behind. Whether it's just, you know, throwing down donations or whether it's merchandise. And if it is merchandise, what are we talking about? Are we talking about buttons? Are we talking about bumper stickers, T-shirts? And the thing with the T-shirts, bumper stickers, and buttons is that when we do this, we're probably going to be doing it piecemeal through someplace like Cafe Press, which anybody who deals with Cafe Press knows that it's not cheap, that for every $25 T-shirt you sell, you probably make about $3.
Yeah, that's saying worth it in a lot of ways, man.
Right. Well, it's free and it's easy, and it's a good way to, like, let's say that we did a T-shirt at Cafe Press. If we sold, I don't know, 30 T-shirts, 40 T-shirts in a month, whether that would tell me it would be worthwhile to pay $250 to have 1,000 T-shirts printed. And, of course,
right,
if I have 1,000 of these T-shirts printed at $250, well, then the price drops from $25 down to, you know, whatever we can do for those shirts. So yeah, it's a matter of just seeing where it is and what things are going on. First, you know, we want to hear from our audience. So, my email address, if you want to send an email, is sorrellart@hotmail.com. That's sorrellart@hotmail.com. Or you can actually send us a message on the Ooze and let us know what you think there. We got about 30 seconds, man. You got anything else before I roll the outro?
No, and you run the outro, man. I'll see you next week.
All right, man. I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Later, all.
All right, man. Later.